Welcome to Northway Community Church, and we're grateful for you to be here with us, not in person, but together in spirit. And so we just want to thank you for making the effort. We know that this is a difficult, trying time for all of us, and to make that extra effort to get up and to get prepared to worship the Lord and to dig into His Word. We're grateful for you today. Just a few announcements. First, we have an online connection card, and so we've been getting, we've been receiving lots and lots of feedback, but we just don't know who it's from. And so we wanted you to go on. There's going to be a link in the comment section here, and we want you to go ahead and fill that out. And so that'll just be a way for us to stay connected with you and to know who's worshiping with us today. Also, we have been so blessed by your giving and supporting and resourcing this ministry, and so we just want you to continue to do that. There's three platforms that we're doing that on. There's the snail mail. You can send it to our church address, 1684 Mile in Williamsport. But also, you can go on our website, and there is a give button, and you click on that, and you can set up your giving that way. And also, our newest platform is our text to give. You can go on and just text from your phone, text give to 570-919-1680. And it will walk you through a very simple process to continue to give to this church. And so we are so grateful for your generosity. And we know God is moving and using your generosity to bless the community that we live in. And so we're grateful for you. And we just pray that you have come and gathered together today to have an encounter with the living God. And not that maybe any of us are super comfortable or this is something that we consider normal now. We're all still a little on edge and a little bit uncomfortable. But I pray that you can just settle into the presence of God today, that you can zero in and center yourself to have a real encounter with the living God so that we can get beyond the distance and get beyond the separation and really connect with God today. And I believe He can do that with us if we just open our hearts and access, give Him access today. And so if you would just join me in this prayer as we begin to worship the Lord this morning and turn our hearts to Jesus. Father, we love You today, and we are grateful for all the things that make today possible, the technology and the facility and the loyalty. And Lord, we pray not only for Northway Community Church, but we pray for all of the churches that are doing online ministries today. Lord, we pray that their technology is going well. We pray for their worship teams. We pray, God, for their preachers. Lord, we pray that the Word would explode in our lives today, God. Father, we desire an encounter with You. And we know that nothing about You is limited by our present limitations. And so, Lord, have Your way in us and through us today. In Jesus' name.
World of His great love, our God is a God who saves. Our God is a God who saves. Let God arise. Let God arise. Our God reigns now and forever. He reigns now and forever. Enemies will run for sure. The church will stand, she will endure. He holds the keys of life, our Lord. death has to see. No final word, our God is a God to save. Our God is a God to save. The God of Ron. The God of our God reigns now and forever. He reigns now and forever. Let God arise. Let God arise. Our God reigns now and forever. He reigns now and forever. God is a God who saves. Our God is a God who saves. Our God is a God who saves. Our God is a God who saves. The God of the God arise. Our God reigns now and forever. He reigns now and forever. Let God arise. Let God arise. Our God reigns now and forever. He reigns now and forever.
I worship you. You are here working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. You are here turning lives around. I worship you. I worship you. You are here mending every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are. We make miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are. You are here, touching every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, healing every life. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, turning lives around. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, mending every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. 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 Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I can't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I can't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Oh, you are here, touching every heart. I worship you, I worship you. You are here, healing every life. I worship you, I worship you. I worship you, I worship you. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
In Jesus' name, we thank you for making a way. Lord, you're making a way where there is no way. You're bringing things in the desert and streams in the wasteland. You are making a way. Father, today we enter in. We seek out. We trust you for that way. You are the way maker. And so, Lord, we celebrate that. That brings a smile to our hearts and our mouths, Lord, our faces. Lord, we're grateful that you are in control. We trust you today. We declare as the church that we trust you. We will not be moved. We will not be shaken. We trust in the one true God, who is crazy in love with his people. And so, Lord, today we rest in the fact that we are loved and that there is a way forward for us. We believe this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 So we're going to try something new today. We would love for you to comment and to give us some feedback. And I know that as I've seen comments in the past, as I've looked at the videos, there's the kind of good morning and how are you doing? Good to see you, Sally and Susie. But I would like you to comment throughout this message on lots of things. Anything that the Lord brings to you, any questions that you might have during the service or during the sermon, we would love to, at the end of the service, we're going to add a little piece to our service. We're actually going to compile those questions and comments, and we're actually going to try to do a little bit of sharing back and forth. I'm going to ask Susie to compile those, and then at the end, we're going to come up and we'll bring some chairs up here, and we'll talk briefly and try to answer some of the questions. But the question I would like you to most answer in your comments is, what do you need most from the Lord today? Well, what is it that you need most? And throughout the entire message, I pray that you would consider that, meditate on that, and see what the Lord might be showing you through this message. And so we pick up today on the journey of Jesus, and he's just got done with a conversation with a blind man. And so if you remember, there's this conversation that Jesus has with his disciples, and they're looking at this blind man, and they're saying, Jesus, who sinned, this man or his parents, in order that he is blind, that he has been punished, that he has somehow been given this this disability because someone had to sin? Because they equated sin with punishment, and when there was something wrong in someone, they must have sinned. And so Jesus responds, listen, no one, not neither his parents nor himself, have they sinned. This has occurred that God might display his power in this man's life. And so what Jesus does at that point is he spits on the ground and he makes a mud mask and he gives this guy a facial and he says, go into the river and wash off. And when he washes off, this man's sight is returned. And this creates a huge controversy in the temple. And so this man's in the temple and the religious leaders are there. And there's this big debate that how could this happen on the Sabbath? And these religious leaders get so upset, they actually kick the man out. And in some crazy way, Jesus is actually MIA. He's missing an action during this conversation between this man realizing that his sight was returned and this debate about why this healing happened on the Sabbath. And so this man is kicked out of the temple. And on his way out, he runs into Jesus again. And Jesus and this gentleman have this conversation. And Jesus calls people together and he says something really interesting. He begins to talk about the sheep and how he is a shepherd. I want to pause right there and briefly share with you a few scriptures that would have been in the background and in the forefront of people's minds during this time. And this message this morning is going to be more of a teaching than maybe even preaching. And so the term or the idea of a shepherd was such a huge theme in the Old Testament. I mean, God is seen as the shepherd to his people Israel. It's all throughout the Old Testament. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. Psalm 77, you lead the people like a flock. Psalm 95, we are your people, the sheep of your pasture. He is our God, and we are his people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. And what Jesus is beginning to do in this passage that we're going to read this morning, he's beginning to say, you know what, there are some true sheep, and there's some true shepherds, and there are some false shepherds. There are people around in this day and time that were acting as if they were shepherds, but Jesus is calling them out. And we think of the Isaiah 56. It says this in verse 9 through 11. Come, all you beasts of the field, come and devour all you beasts of the forest. Israel's watchmen are blind. They all lack knowledge. They all are mute dogs. They cannot bark. They lie around and dream. They love to sleep. They are dogs with mighty appetites. They never have enough. They are shepherds who lack understanding. They all turn to their own way and seek their own gain. He's saying, listen, my father is the true shepherd. And these men around here are only trying to shepherd for their own benefit. There are a bunch of false shepherds. And what Jesus begins to demonstrate is that He has not come to reverse or compromise the law. He has come, as he has said many times before, to fulfill the law. And as he begins to talk about shepherds and sheep, they would have immediately thought of the passage in Ezekiel that said, "For this is what the sovereign Lord says. I myself will search for my sheep and look after them as a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them. So will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness." See, this isn't new language to the people of Jesus' day. When Jesus begins to talk about himself as a shepherd and looking after the sheep, they immediately think, they immediately know what he's talking about. This is just another crazy declaration that he is declaring, "I am God." And the religious leaders and the church folk were not having it. To this point in John chapter 10, they had already tried to kill him three times. And so they realize that he is declaring himself to be God, and they are not going to put up with it. And so Jesus is very clear in John chapter 10. And I want you to follow along with me. It'll be on the screen. But if you have it at home, we would love for you to follow along with me in John chapter 10, where Jesus just leaves no doubt about who he is. "I tell you the truth. The man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Verse 7, "Therefore Jesus said again, 'I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full.'" Verse 11, he says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. The command I received from my Father." All these words, the Jews were again divided. Many of them said, "He is demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him?" But others said, "These are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" So what we have here, friends, is a mixed simile. Jesus is saying at the same time, he is both the gate and the good shepherd. In this passage, in 21 verses, he says both, "I am the gate and I am the good shepherd. And so that is a confusing idea. And so I want us to take some time and patiently walk through this and see who Jesus is declaring himself to be. So what we need to understand, as we mentioned earlier, is that being a shepherd was a very common and major part of the culture in Jesus' day. I mean, at a glance, you would think that being a shepherd is this kind of easy, meandering journey through the fields. It was anything but that. The land in Jesus' day was very rugged, and it was rocky terrain, and there weren't very much grass, and shepherds were constantly trying to find pasture for their sheep, longing to care for them, finding a place to pasture, protecting them from the terrain and that edge where the sheep might fall over into ravine, other animals and those who would want to steal the sheep. You needed to be constantly vigilant, fearless, courage, and patient, not just standing around watching. And nonetheless, the weather was awful sometimes as well. And so what happened is that shepherds would, when they would go into a village, they would have what was called a sheepfold. And this sheepfold was where there was this kind of a common area in the middle of the village where at the end of the evening, after a long day of out of pasture, they would come into a village and all of the sheep would be put into this sheep pen, the sheepfold. And they would hire a man who was a porter, and he would simply, in the evenings, he would watch the sheep while the other shepherds would go and rest. And there would be all of these sheep in the sheepfold. And in the morning, the way that these sheep were not mixed up was the sheep would hear their shepherd's voice. And they would pay no mind to another shepherd's voice, but as soon as they would hear their own master's voice, they would perk up and begin to follow. And what Jesus does, and that's kind of the setup for what we want to talk about this morning. What Jesus wants to explain to the people that are listening, and what I believe he wants to explain to us today, is that Jesus desires to be our shepherd. And that would seem as a foreign idea to those of us in the U.S. that maybe aren't as familiar with shepherding and sheep. But what Jesus shares with these people, the disciples and the religious leaders and those who are looking on in this conversation, I believe he shares with us. And I believe the message is pertinent. And I think it's understandable today. What Jesus is saying at the outset of this passage is, I have the credentials to be your shepherd. Because in this contrast between false shepherds and the true shepherd, in our lives, who are we going to listen to? Who are we going to follow? That is not simply just something for 2,000 years ago as it pertains to sheep. That pertains to us. There are so many voices and so many people that want us to follow them. And Jesus says, listen, I have the credentials for you to listen and to follow me. And so what he does in this first part of the passage in verse 3, he's creating this contrast between a false shepherd and the true shepherd. And the false shepherd gains access through deception and aggression. Your Lord and Savior, Jesus, is never going to call you with deception and aggression. The true shepherd enters by integrity, asking you to come, asking you to follow. The true shepherd has a motive that always gives safety and life. The false shepherd always is seeking to destroy for their own benefit. The true shepherd has a voice that's familiar and speaks to you individually and desires to lead you, but the false shepherd is a silent assassin. Not only does Jesus have the credentials, but Jesus also has the commands in verse 4 and 5. See, the false shepherd would have to drive from behind. He would have to tell with loud and aggressive instructions and continue to push forward. But the true shepherd leads from the front, offering leadership and protection, safety from the predators, and leads to rich pastures. And the sheep, knowing his voice, instinctively follow because they're surrendered to the one that they know will not lead them astray. Friends, Jesus does not want to be a dictator. He's not wanting to be the one in your life that's always telling you what to do and forcing you into a certain pattern. He wants to be your example. And that's what we learn from this, that when these shepherds who were the true shepherds and the ones that the sheep wanted to follow, they didn't have to coerce them. They didn't have to force them. They simply led them and showed them the path and safety. And so that's true in Jesus. The relationship with Jesus Christ is not one that is a dictatorship. I'll get there. Just be patient with me. But it's one that is saying, listen, follow me and let me be your example. Jesus, as did the shepherds, goes before us and shows us the path and understands our anxieties. As has been the case in the previous weeks when we've discussed these passages that Jesus talking about who he is, at some point in every conversation with Jesus, the Pharisees say, listen, we don't understand what you're talking about. We have no clue what you're talking about. And so Jesus, in every passage we've looked at in the last 3 or 4 weeks, has gone from the kind of the vague and the general to the specific and to the practical. And he does that right here. And so it's so interesting, friends, that Jesus is talking about what to do. And we realize that when we're confused and when we are frustrated, being told what to do is limited and it doesn't normally work. But if something changes from when we're told what to do to who to do it with. Somebody who's more experienced, someone who loves us, someone who's going to care for us, that there's so much more comfort in being told, hey, here's who you need to follow. Here's who you need to call. Here's who you knows the answer, as opposed to here's what you need to do. Go do this. Make sure you get it done. And that's exactly what Jesus is doing in this passage. He's saying, listen, I was telling you what to do, but now let me tell you who to do it with. That's most important. The who is most important when we're in times of confusion and frustration. And so, friends, I want to not tell you what to do today. I want to remind you who you can do it with. We have a good shepherd who not only has the credentials and the gentle commands, but Jesus is one who has the right character. Jesus changes the image a little bit in this part of the passage in verses 7 through 10. And we originally had talked about the sheep pen where it was in the center of the town. But when the sheep are way out and there's no way to get back into town, what they would do is they would try to get their flock together in a makeshift sheepfold. And what they would do is they would just kind of get some mud and stone and wood, and they would just kind of put it up against the mountainside, and they would have just kind of two walls, and at the outset, there would just be this opening. And what Jesus is saying is that the good shepherd is the door. And so what we understand about that is that when you have this just kind of makeshift sheep pen with this opening in the middle, the door was actually the shepherd. At night, after he had all of the sheep inside the pen, what he would do, what he would just lay in the gap. And what he's saying here is that I am the door. I am the access. I am the authority. I am the Messiah. There's only one way in and one way out into this sheepfold. And there was only one way in and one way out of the ark. There was only one way in and one way out of the temple. There's only one way in to God's fold. the one way to deliverance and freedom and protection. We cannot enter in any other way. Ephesians chapter 2 says this, "For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit." And so you have this image of Jesus saying, "I am the gate. I am the one that you need to pass over in order to enter in. You need to pass over my broken body and my shed blood in order to enter into the fold." 1 Peter 2 tells us he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. "By his wounds you have been healed, for you were like sheep going astray. But now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your soul." Jesus is the door, my friends. He's telling us that that is the way to enter into God's family. Make no mistake, it's not about accepting a philosophy or attending a certain church or reciting a certain creed or even a certain behavior. What Jesus is clearly saying here is if you want to be in the fold, in God's fold, it's about entering through Jesus and following him. Acts 4:12 says, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to man by which we must be saved." That is the way in. And so we believe that Jesus has the character in order to be our good shepherd. And so you have this credentials, the commands, and the characters. But what maybe is the most impressive thing is that Jesus has the concern in order to be our shepherd. He can have the credentials. He can have the right voice. He can even have the right characteristics or character. But does he care about me? Maybe you're asking yourself that today. Does God, through Jesus Christ, this whole Jesus thing, does it really matter to me? Does he even care for me? And that's exactly in the second half of this passage what Jesus is saying. And so if you're sleeping, or if you're slumping, or if you're out getting the Pop-Tart out of the toaster, come back in, because this is the truth. Jesus is saying, I'm not just the first among the shepherds that you should follow. I'm not even the best among the shepherds that you should follow. Jesus is saying, I am the only without comparison shepherd to be followed. I'm not just good because of some moral or benevolent characteristic. No, I'm good because I am superior in quality. I'm not just some average shepherd who just takes his job lightly. No, I am the good shepherd that lays down his life for his sheep. Church, I pray that I, between my mouth and your ears, you can realize that that is who Jesus wants to be to you. He wants to be the good shepherd. And I want you to hear today in verses 11 through 16 how he is concerned for you. His concern for you was proven by his sacrifice. He was self-giving in his devotion unto death, providing for us access and fellowship and life. I mean, this is contrasted in that same passage with the hired hand who, as soon as fear showed up, as soon as trouble showed up, he ran away. When the hired hand saw the problem, he abandoned the sheep with great consequence to the sheep. And when Jesus saw you and he saw your problems, he did not abandon you. He didn't say, "Oh my goodness, that situation in Greco's life is too bad. I can't do anything with that." He didn't run away. He didn't say, "No, you know what? You're useless. You're disqualified." He said, "No, listen, I'm sticking around to prove my concern for you by my sacrifice." Jesus' concern for you was proven by his knowledge of you. Not only did he sacrifice for you, but he knows you. He knew in the image of the shepherd and the sheep. The shepherd knows his sheep. He knows them like a wife knows her husband, and a husband knows her wife. That level of that intimacy to know your wife. That's the word. That's the image of when the shepherd knows his sheep. He knows their defects. He knows their peculiar traits. He knows their strengths. He knows their weaknesses. He knows their joys. He knows their burdens. He knows their mountains and their valleys and their battles and their victories. And he's ready to help you. I pray that you would know him today. I pray that you realize he knows you, he sees you, and he's going to take care of it today. Not only is his concern proven to you by his sacrifice and proven to you by his knowledge of you, but his shepherd love for you and concern for you is proven by his scope. In verse 15, Jesus says, I have other sheep that are not of this sheepfold. He's saying, listen, I'm talking to Jews. I'm talking to the direct audience right now, but there are some other sheep. And you know who he was talking about? He's talking about us. He's talking about the Gentiles. He's talking about the church. I want you to know that no matter who you are and how far you've gone and how forever, however long you've been there, he is still your shepherd. He's still loving you. This week, I was just floored by thinking about my life without the shepherd. I guarantee there are wolves and animals and thieves and robbers that would have long devoured me if it wasn't for the shepherd. And so you can think about his credentials and his character and his commands and even his concerns for you. But it only becomes a total picture after you know Jesus' cause. What was Jesus' because? Why did he do all of this? I mean, the cause, Jesus' cause, why would Jesus want to be our shepherd? Why would Jesus want to lay down his life for these particular sheep? In verses 17 and 18, he tells us that. I am the good shepherd. He's telling everybody that can listen to him, listen, this is my strongest, maybe my strongest statement about who I am. I am taking over because all the others have failed. If you followed all of these other shepherds, if you followed all of these other talking heads, if you followed all of these other philosophies, you follow all of these other self-help books, you followed all of these other remedies, drugs, alcohol, extramarital affairs, all of, if you followed all of that, I have come to be the true shepherd, the good shepherd, the one that can be followed. And what he does in verses 17 and 18, he explains how he was going to do this. It's pretty interesting the words that Jesus uses. And he says that Jesus says that the reason the Father loves me, this is what Jesus is saying about his Father. The reason the Father loves me is because I lay down my life and only to take it back up again. Because Jesus was obedient to his Father and did what his Father instructed him to do, that says that is the reason the Father loved him. Let me get something very clear, and I know that we're a week removed from Good Friday and Easter, but let there be no mistake. The death of Jesus was not a tragic accident, and Jesus was not a helpless victim. This was according to the plan. The why Jesus does this, the why Jesus wants to be your good shepherd is because he loves you. That's the reason why he was the one instead of you that died on the cross. He is the one that was sacrificed so that you would not have to be. 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. We are going to be righteous because Jesus loved us. Ephesians 5:25 says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Jesus Christ gave himself up for you because he loves you. Jesus went through something in order that you and I would not have to go through it. He experienced something so that we would not have to. And just like today, the passage in John chapter 10 says, these words divided people. There are people that didn't believe, and there were people that believed. There were people that said, this man is demon-possessed. This man is stark, raving, mad. And there were others that said, this man is who he says he is. So what says you? One of my best friends, not one of my best friends, my best friend in the whole world, besides my wife, who saved that one? Tim Mabry said it this way. If he is either of the first two, what are you doing here? If Jesus is a demon-possessed man, if Jesus is stark raving mad, why are you up and staring at a TV or a phone this morning? But if he is the third, why are you not listening to him? Why are you listening to anyone else? If he is a stark raving mad lunatic, if he is a demon-possessed teacher, why are we doing any of this? But if he is who he said he was, why are we listening to anyone else? I want to close with a story. There were two men who were going to recite Psalm 23, that famous psalm. The first man stood up and he was a published orator. He was trained in speech techniques and drama. He recited it with power. And the audience cheered. They cheered so loud that he even asked for an encore just to hear his voice once more. After he had completed his rendition, an older gentleman stood up, much less polished, repeating the same words. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. When he finished, total silence covered the large auditorium. Many even began to bow their heads and pray. The first man got back up to the podium and he said, I have a confession to make today. There is a major difference between myself and my good friend here today. I know the song. My friend knows the shepherd. Friends, do you know the shepherd today? Do you know the one who loves you and desires to lead you? I want to share with you Psalm 23, and not in the traditional format that you might know it and have memorized it. And I want you to be a little off balance, so I don't want you to be able to repeat it with me. Because when you repeat it, it kind of jumps into this rut of the familiar. And you're just going to recite it and it doesn't even digest anymore. And so I want to read it in a version, a paraphrase that you won't know. But I want you to just take a minute. And as I read it, I want you to ask yourself, do I know the shepherd? God, my shepherd, I don't need a thing. You have bedded me down in lush meadows. You find me quiet pools to drink from. True to your word, you let me catch my breath and send me in the right direction, even when the way goes through Death Valley. I'm not afraid when you walk at my side. Your trusty shepherd crook makes me feel secure. You serve me a six-course dinner right in front of my enemies. You revive my drooping head. My cup brims with blessing. Your beauty and love chase after me every day of my life. I'm back at home in the house of God for the rest of my life. Friends, what do you need from Jesus today? It's in here. It's in this psalm, and it's available for you today. Do you need a relationship? Do you need supply? Do you need rest? Do you need refreshment? Do you need healing? Do you need guidance? How about purpose? How about protection or faithfulness? Discipline or hope? Consecration, abundance, blessing, security, eternity. It's available through the Good Shepherd. He loves you. Recognize his voice today. Jesus is offering something to you that nothing else and no one else can offer you. And that's grace. The grace of Jesus Christ is that which you deserved. Not only do you not get what you deserve, but you actually get blessing and good. You deserve bad. You deserve death. We deserve bad. We deserve death. But what we get, friends, is we get love and life and forgiveness. And I pray that every single one of us today knows the shepherd, knows the one who loves us. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you in Jesus Christ for your love for us. Thank you for sending the shepherd. Thank you for sending the one who desires to lead us today. We desire to follow. And Father, for my friends that are online today that do not yet have a walking, talking relationship with the shepherd, I pray that we would all repeat this simple but powerful, life-changing prayer. Father, I am sorry for where I have gone astray. I am sorry for the one-way streets that I've followed. I desire to follow you. Thank you for providing a way for me. Out of the sin, out of the dead ends of my life, and into a beautiful, wonderful pasture. Please come into my life. Make me new. Help me to keep my eyes on you from today and forever. Lord, I recognize that you are my leader and my rescuer. And I will follow you. In Jesus' name, amen, 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 amen. Well, friends, I think we're going to try to transition. Do we have some comments? Oh, all right. So it says, I was wanting my wife to help me, but I guess she can't help me. All right. She's stuck. Okay, it's okay. It's okay. Do you have the comments on the phone? All right. We'll get better at this by next week, but okay, can you just help me? Yeah. So it's too small. All right, is that what these are? All right. Is there more? All right. So Lori Moore talked about how what she needed was a renewed spirit. Jenny's asking for a motivation for a few areas in her life. Jo Marie is looking for wisdom to speak to someone else about sin. Wow, that's a pretty serious one. Josh is looking for everyone to stay safe in these times. Deb is looking for light and love. Keep my children and their children safe. Barb, my mom, prayer for people who are alone and unable to get out. You know, one of the things that we'd love to do is be able in coming weeks is to answer some of the questions that are generated by God's word. And so we will try to provide a platform for that. Is there any other comments? Okay. All right. And she wanted to get off really quick. We just want to begin to try to figure out a way to get feedback and talk back and comments. And so thank you for hanging in there. That was a long teaching, but I think it's a good one. I think it's something that we need to really embrace. I know the excitement of Lazarus coming out last week, and it's hard to compete with that. But there's something. Isn't this interesting? All right, I'm going to quit after this. Isn't there interesting? Like sometimes we have little trouble getting up for the big days. And even sometimes we have little trouble traveling through crisis. Like when you're up and you're ready and you're poised, but it's that it kind of the week after, the morning after, the day after, it's like you got to have something that's going to sustain you. And so the same God, think about this. This is it. The same God who raised Lazarus from the dead wants to lead you into quiet pastures and drink from wide open waters and bring peace into your life. That's the same God. I pray you know him today. God bless you guys, and we'll see you this week.